This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Jason Cutter here. Welcome to part two of the conversation I'm having with Greg Accardo from Louisiana State University Professional Sales Institute. If you didn't catch it, make sure to check out part one, the video, the audio, everywhere, anywhere. We talked about authenticity. Greg talked about his journey from sales and then now into the classroom and being part of this program for 9 years, bringing his experience from over 25 years of sales and sales leadership. We're here now to talk about persuasion, talk about sales process, continue where we left off in part one. This will make a lot more sense if you checked out part one. Greg, are you ready to continue this conversation?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So at the end of the part one, we were talking about sales and basically got into sales process, talking about what buyers are looking for. And you made a great reference to, you know, a lot of sales teams, sales people are just still trying to use classic models and add some new widgets, add some new things to it, try to spruce it up, except buyers are not looking for that. They want something new. They want something modern, let's say, versus a classic car. They want a modern car, and it's just not the right fit. When you look at that perspective, especially talking about persuasion and sales processes, what have you seen as that evolution from when you started in sales and what sales was about then, right? 25, 30 plus years ago versus that modern thing that people want now?
So if you look back when I started my sales career, the internet was really a new thing. I still remember when I got my first computer and my first email address was an AOL address, and you had dial-up modems. And, you know, but that was a world where the dynamic was a lot different than it is today, because then the only person who had all the information and all the knowledge about the product or the service was the sales rep. And think back when people used to shop for cars. Okay, the way you shop for a car was on a Saturday when you were not working, you would drive around to different car lots to go sit in the new cars and have the sales rep come tell you about all the great features and this one and that. You know, and it was just you needed to go get information, right? And they had all the power. They were in control of the process because they keeper of the knowledge. The internet changed that. And we're all aware now how people shop for cars. Somebody wants to shop for a car, they never talk to a sales rep till they're ready to go maybe negotiate the price. And they already know the price because the price is online. It's the invoice price is already posted. So the dynamic has shifted from back then to today that the buyer is more informed. They have all the knowledge or more knowledge than the seller has. So that becomes a challenge on how sellers adapt to the new environment. On top of that, if you add in what we call the Amazon effect, where people have gotten used to shopping on Amazon, and Amazon has, you know as well as I do, if you sign in Amazon, what's the first thing you see on your home screen is, hey, you bought this 2 years ago, it's time to buy it again. We recommend you look at this. They've customized and personalized the customer experience so much that we condition ourselves to think that, well, you want customization and personalization in all of your selling interactions, okay? And that's where the challenge is for modern sellers is how are you going to change your cadences and your emotions and your processes so that the customer feels like, number one, you're removing all the friction, okay? They don't have any hoops to jump through to buy your product. Don't think that you need to start educating them on all the features of your product because they probably already know the features. They understand what it's going to do for them. Now, is your job is to look for areas where you can build that personal partnership and help them in that buyer's journey or make that buyer's journey seamless and frictionless. Then you have to take an effect that some people want to buy strictly in an e-commerce environment. They want to buy it online. You have to give your customers that option. So if you're not providing an option that fits what their model looks like, not your model, their model, That's where the challenge is for sellers, is adapting. And we mentioned it earlier, from that classic approach, mm-hmm. that was all motions and tactics. Motions and tactics is all we did. Mm-hmm. Buyers have moved further and further away. In fact, they've packed their suitcases and left that classic model. They've moved. They're not even in the same state anymore. They're somewhere else, living in the modern sales model environment, okay? And you're on the outside just looking in, figuring out, how can I get in there, right? But the buyers, they still need sellers. They need advice. They need experts. They need insights, okay? And that's the big challenge today. And not only sales education, but just sales in general, to be better at what we do.
Two things you said just totally fascinating for me. The first one is that, you know, talking about buyers and talking about all of us, obviously in our business and professional life, we're the same, but, you know, we're the same person, is that we want customization, personalization, all our buying interactions. And I know that to be true, and I work with teams on that, but I hadn't thought about that even from the level of what you're talking about, which is Amazon and what it's done. And I love what you said, the Amazon effect, where it has conditioned us. Other things have conditioned us too, but it's, you know, you go on there, it's giving you the recommendations. It's telling you what, you know, you might find the most interesting, just like social media does with algorithms, and just keep us going in what we want and you know, serving up the ads for things that might interest us, where like how that has changed any buyer, even B2B, like professional buyers, where still expect that same thing because we're human, right? And we take our personal experiences of buying things and we take that into the business where we're like, stop treating me like it's just a product or one size fits all. You got to make it customized to me. So I think that's amazing and so true. And anybody listening, is hopefully you got that and you make that part of your focus. The other thing, and I have a question on this, you said motions and tactics, because that sounds like the old school classic mode. What does that mean? What are motions and tactics?
Yeah, well, you know, motions and tactics are, you know, phone calls, emails, you know, door to door, you know, and we were all conditioned back in the day that the way you achieved more sales success was you did more motions and tactics. Okay. If you needed to make 20 phone calls to get 2 appointments, well, you know what, make 40, you know, it became a numbers game. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Okay. But that worked in the classic world. That doesn't work anymore, where you can strictly just fall back on the old standby. Hey, give me more motions, give me more tactics, and you will hit your quota. That's not going to work, because what's happened is that your customers have gone further and further underground because they have the same technology that you have. Part of the paradox in this, and Howard Dover covers this really great in his book, and I'm plugging Howard's book because it was great. It was eye-opening. Is that sellers have adopted the modern technologies. And they're using the AI, the automation, the augmentation. You know, that's not the problem. The problem is that they've plugged in those technologies into the classic machine that's built on more motions, more tactics. And they've ramped up these motions and tactics at scale, 10x, 20x, okay? Where you used to do 100 calls a week. Well, now they're saying, let's do 1,000 calls a week. We got technology that'll do it for us. Yeah. But the net effect of that is that you're creating a dust bowl in your market, that you're burning through all of your leads. And by doing so, you're pushing your customer further and further underground. Because remember, those customers don't live in your classic machine world anymore. They live in the Tesla world. They live in that modern machine. They're driving a different vehicle than you're driving. Okay, so they have the same technology. Sometimes they can use it better than you, and they're using that technology to get further and further away from the salespeople who are stuck in the classic motions and tactics.
That is amazing. I love the Dust Bowl reference too, because I'm just imagining just the obliteration, which is so true.
Jason, so we're changing a generation right now. Unless you've had your head in the sand, what's happening is we're seeing that the baby boomer generation has a lot of them retired because of COVID. You've got the millennial generation coming in now, okay, followed by the Gen Zs. And if you're like me and you're on a college campus, you see Gen Zers walking around with this, okay, all day long. These Gen Zers that we're educating here today in this university are going to be the future buyers for all the companies out there that we, you, and everybody sells to. They're used to their whole business transaction on one of these, okay? They're not going to let that piece of technology go. That's going to be with them from now on through their careers, and they will be your future buyers. How are you going to engage with them when this is what they're used to doing business on? And that gets back to a point of this classic versus modern models. And we're talking to companies today here. You know, we're advising companies on how they can take part of their business process and move some of it to an app-based platform, just so they can give these modern buyers a sense that, hey, they have an e-commerce option. If they don't want to talk to a salesperson, and we have the research and shows that 80% of buyers, maybe until they get to the buying, to actually the purchase part. But you have to give them the option that they can do it without talking to a sales rep, still make the purchase, because at least it gets them into the orbit that maybe there's an opportunity after the sale to go do consulting with them on how to maximize the product or the service.
So then giving that shift, especially because, you know, talking about sales processes, then how do you build that sales process? What are you doing to help this future generation of salespeople, not just the buyers, but the salespeople, move away from the motions and tactics as a numbers game to scale? But still, obviously, there's motions and tactics, and it does require, you know, that effort. But what are you seeing as sales processes and strategies that work now in this modern era?
Well, I'll just share with you this. The companies that are really excelling in this and really meeting and far exceeding their numbers are the ones that have this mindset that they're willing to try something different. Okay. They're willing to give their top sales performers who, and their new one, the new talent coming in, give them a little bit of bandwidth to go in and experiment. Okay. Let them be the entrepreneurs on your team to look for those ways that they can leverage maybe a different motion or tactic. Because in the end, the classic methods that we've used in the past, they become a standby almost, where it's like, hey, you know, we're getting the end of the month, we're not making our numbers, let's just ramp up more phone calls, because that's all we know. So it goes back to the leadership, okay? The management teams have realized that they're going to have to step out of their comfort zone, maybe allow their younger junior reps to be a little more adventurous and find out there may be some things that they can do, and maybe a different perspective that maybe they're aware of, because in the end, you're going to be stuck in the classic model, and that's the comfort zone. And the worse it gets, we see this a lot, the harder it gets to make your numbers in the classic model, the more motions and tactics we see the prescription to fix it, and which is a lot of times can be have the reverse net effect.
Well, we'll talk about this in the next part on the future of sales. When you're talking about it again from the buyer's perspective, which is kind of where we ended part one, which is, what are the buyers wanting from that salesperson? Obviously not the features, the benefits. They have all the information. Like, what is that process they want? Because you're saying literally, like, the buyers are getting good at using technology and or insulating themselves and moving to as far away from possible from the classic model, but they still need something, or they want something, or they're open to something. And so what is it, how do they want to be sold to in your experience?
So if you look at survey data, I mean, there's a trend that is very noticeable, and it's measurable, is that buyers don't want to be sold to, they want to be helped. And we kind of all know that already, right? So if they're expecting sellers to come to them with something other than a sales pitch, okay? bring something to them that they can benefit from. What piece of insight or knowledge about the industry, maybe some new way of trying to accomplish the same task, that maybe your company is working on something that's a little bit different, but that they want to be helped. Okay. They don't want to be sold to. You know, there's this common theme we see that, you know, buyers have a hard job too. A lot of, there's more risk involved in it. There's more people looking at that purchase than before. Companies have tightened down their buying processes where now you maybe get three or four people have to sign off on a deal before you can sign it. So anything that you as a sales rep can bring to that buyer that helps them be better at what they do, that should be the thing that's going to help them make that decision to finish the journey with you than with one of your competitors. The problem is still there. They have to solve. Okay. If they've got several options to choose from, they're going to be looking for the option that provides them with more insights than the others. Does that sort of make sense? They're looking for that key ingredient is what can you educate me about that I don't already know. I need some knowledge that makes me better.
Yeah. And the issue isn't necessarily that people don't want to buy. It's that, like you said, the motions and tactics part has made it so that buyers, most of us are defensive and like, okay, well, I don't need you to sell me anything. And trying to determine if somebody's selling them something, trying to close a deal, or actually trying to help and leave someone better off, which then leads into the next question I have is, where is that balance in manipulation versus persuasion, you know, with professional sales? And then also with your students, where are you helping them understand that line of what maybe they thought sales was versus this part where you're talking about and helping buyers?
So look, that's always a challenge is that, you know, you're teaching sales and at a minimum, we have to teach the tactics and the motions. That's, you know, we have to teach them how to make a cold call. We have to write a script for a meeting. How do you execute a sales process? What does that look like as a linear process? We still have to educate them on all that. But at the same time, we're focusing a lot more on them understanding the customer at a deeper level. Understanding what their buying process may look like. You might not have all the information on that. Today, there's a lot of technology out there that can give you that insight on what their buying processes look like. If you're using a CRM database like a Salesforce, you've got data that can give you a visual into what their buying cycles look like. Maybe how many people were involved in those processes before. Educate yourself more and then try to find the sales method that works for them. So let me back up again and go back to what I was saying before. Yeah. The sales method for them may not be the same one that you would use for the prospect you were just talking to an hour ago. You may have a prospect right now that wants more of an e-commerce option and doesn't want to have to work with a sales rep to come in and sign paperwork and send over this form and, you know, sign this, send it back, and we'll send it through our accounts receivable department. They may want something that's really simple, e-commerce, credit card, get it shipped here the next day. Versus you may have a customer, you may need to go make a personal visit. You may need to go look at the problem. You may need to put your hands on it. Okay. You may need to give them some time to think about it. So the processes are going to be different. And as a sales professional, you need to be agile enough to recognize that it's not a one-size-fits-all game. Understanding the customer, from our perspective, where we're teaching our students, understand your customer, get as much insights as you can on their personalities, their processes, their industry cycles, then look for the method that best fits them.
That is amazing. Where do you see people just get stuck though in the one size fits all, right? Like you're talking about an agile sales process. You got to sell to everyone different in the way they want to buy. How often do you see salespeople still get stuck though in just going through their motions and their playbook?
Every day. And it goes back to leadership. It goes back to the model they came from. In a lot of companies, they have a basic sales training model. And here's the model. We're going to teach it. Go sell. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, give me the model. I'll go and execute the model. I'm going to put all these motions into the CRM database, and everybody's going to track my motions. But again, if you're just repeating the same motions and tactics with all your customers, you're doing the work, but you're not getting any results for it, because again, your customers are expecting something else. They want that Amazon effect. They want that personalization. Maybe they don't want to. Guess what? We've changed our buying process this year. We don't buy that way anymore. You're late. You should have. Yeah, we were doing that a year ago. We're different today. You should have known that before you came and knocked on my door. It's incumbent on the sales professional to be more of a researcher, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. You have mm-hmm. to research your prospects more. Okay, and where in the past all you needed was their email and their phone number and their and drop them a phone call. Again, classic motions and tactics. Now it's getting deeper, understanding the nuances of their process, their motions, and trying to match and align your processes with theirs.
So with that, because your program is obviously focused on helping those people become professional at sales, right? Even though it's not a profession, but you're trying to build those pro sales people as they enter the world. Like you said, when they go to work for a company, they are ready. They've got some confidence. They've made a lot of mistakes. Like you said, they've hit their thumb with the hammer. They know that hurts, not do that again, and how to avoid doing that. How do you teach them different processes and this agile sales mindset so that they can go into a company, and then that company is going to layer on top of it, but then they're that, I don't know, flexible sales role player. I don't know best way to label that.
Yeah. And you know, you brought up a good point, and it's never easy. And that's kind of where we have to kind of work on it as we're moving along, because it's such a changing world, and we're doing the best we can here. But my hope is that we're giving the students enough exposure along with the processes and the science behind selling and why people buy and how they buy, that and when you couple that with these projects that we do where the students are put into groups and they have a quota and they have to go out and sell real products to real people in a B2B environment, that they get a little bit of exposure to, yeah, people may not want to talk to you today. Okay. That's obvious. Okay. It's not a good time for them. Their buying schedule is not aligning with your buying schedule. That's obvious. But we're trying to get them to where they experience a little bit of that adversity, not in the classroom, out of the classroom, and then come back to the classroom, digest it, let's review it, let's break it down. And along the way, we're instilling in them this image that the mistake you're making is that you're not matching what you're doing to what they need. Okay, your buyer's off somewhere else and you're trying to pull them onto your boat. They want you to get on their boat. Okay, mm-hmm. They don't have time to go ride in your boat. Their boat is going in a direction, and if you're not going to help them drive the boat, get out of the way, because they've got work to do. But if you can figure out how to help them drive their boat, make their boat go faster, more efficiently, then yes, they want you on the boat with them. In fact, they're not going to let you leave the boat, because they need you. You became a really important part of their team, and nobody else is going to come take your spot on the boat. But once you are not helping them anymore, that boat going forward and going being more efficient, then yes, you can be replaced. But get on the boat with them, you know, get aligned with what they need. And part of what we do is have them, you know, realize that, you know, first of all, they can see the mistakes, but they can see the better way with the technologies that we're giving them to use, and they get the big picture on that. The problem becomes a lot of times, and it's not all the time, but some companies will hire them out of the program and throw them into the classic machine. And some of them are like, well, you know, that's not what we were taught. You know, we were taught that a lot of times the customers are not thinking this way anymore. And, but my hope is like they can go to these companies and evangelize that, hey, there's a different way to do this. Let me show you. And hopefully they can evangelize these companies and help them overcome some of these bumps in the road that they're dealing with today.
That would be amazing. And that's my hope as well. Like, as soon as I learned about these programs and sending students out there with this background education, confidence, experience, practice, real world, like you said, of actually selling things through the university or on behalf of two companies, and then they go out there and hopefully shift the way that businesses act in their sales teams because of that. And really, one of the things I'm hearing from you and I'm taking in is that really shifting people in sales from thinking it's me versus you, I've got to sell you this thing and then I'm going to move on and that's what I do, to a team event, right? Like, I'm in this with you. How do I help you? Like you said, I love that analogy of, you know, the buyer in the boat is going, and it's going. And the goal is to help show that you have value and get on that boat, be a part of that journey, and then be there long term. I mean, I do that with the consulting side, where I have clients that, like, once we start, it's a long term thing because the value is there, and it just keeps evolving. And that's what you want in any sales role. So I love that as a kind of final piece of this process and persuasion. And I appreciate you sharing that here on this this second part. This has been great. So many sound bites, so many clips, so many value things that you shared with this. I love it. And I'm glad that you're here on the show.
Thank you.
And for people tuning in, if you want to connect with Greg as we close out this part two of the three-part conversation, make sure to find him on LinkedIn, Greg Accardo. You can find him there. Obviously, search for his name and LSU. We'll have the link in the show notes, but also LSU's program. You can go there. I know you could probably search for it and find their Professional Sales Institute, but the link will be in the show notes. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in, for being a part of this journey here to shift the world of sales from what people think it is to what it can be, and that value and all the stuff that Greg was talking about of being that person who's helping that buyer and helping them get to a better place and being on that journey with them instead of trying to convince them or trick them or the motions and tactics at scale and just playing the numbers game, to actually being a professional and being someone who's creating value. So until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders, and we'll see you in part three.